The first reading comes from the Hebrew Bible, from the book of Joshua, Joshua 24, verses 1 through 3a, and then following with 14 through 25. You can find it in your pew Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, on page 205. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his brothers Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods of your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in the land where you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us all along the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said to Joseph, "The Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading this morning comes from the first letter from Paul to the church in Thessalonica. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 193 of the New Testament. Hear now the words of Paul. "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us now turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. It's on page 26 of your bulletin. I went into the seekers class this morning and I said, "Let's take a look at your bulletin," because they all had copies. I said, "What's with that?" And they could correctly identify that it was an ancient lamp made out of clay and that it had a flame on it. And they said, "Why today?" Well, let us discuss why today. Jesus is speaking. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some oil for yourselves." And when they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I have to admit something to you. There are some Sundays when I come up here to the pulpit to read Scripture, to preach, that I wonder if maybe I have what it takes to be one of those hellfire and brimstone preachers. Now, you may know the stereotype, those preachers who are big and grandiose and loud, and they are very eager to remind us that we are all sinners. Yes, my brothers and sisters, you were born sinners, thanks to the fall from grace of Adam and Eve. And you will die sinners unless you give your hearts to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you bow down now on your knees and ask God Almighty to forgive your sins, God's mercy may be available to you. But only, the only possible way is if right here today you offer your hearts to Jesus Christ. Because only by the blood of the sacred Lamb, by Jesus giving up His life so that we might live, that is the only way that you will find eternal salvation. But my guess, brothers and sisters, is that you will join me in the pit of hell. We will be damned for all eternity in weeping and gnashing of teeth. So unless you make that choice right here and right now to give your hearts to Jesus Christ, you are destined for that eternity of pain and sorrow. Okay, you're right. I probably don't have the stuff of a hellfire and brimstone preacher. But the thing to think about is maybe that's not exactly the theology of the United Methodist Church. I want you to think about that. All of these readings would make this the perfect Sunday to have a hellfire and brimstone preacher, because all of these readings, every one, has to do with the end of time. In theological terms, we call that eschatology, dealing with the end times, the time when Jesus will return and there will be that day of reckoning. So think about the scripture that was read here before you. Probably the most encouraging, the least upsetting, is that part of the letter that Ken read, the letter to the Thessalonians, where Paul is trying to calm their fears. A lot of people of Paul's time were worried of what would happen when Jesus came back. Now, as you may well know, those people in those house churches at the time, and Paul as the evangelical leader, all of these folks believed that Christ's second coming was just around the corner. Literally, any day now, or at very least, any year now. They were waiting for Christ to come. And so they had some concerns. When Christ comes back out of the clouds, what will happen to our brothers and sisters who have already died? Do they not get to go? And Paul quieted their fears and said, "No, no. In fact, when we look at Scripture, we discover that, in fact, the dead folks will be called up first. And they will join the living in the clouds with Jesus as He comes down. And everybody will be taken to eternity with Jesus Christ." So Paul reminds them, there's nothing to worry about. That's the way it'll work. Everybody gets to go. It's the other two readings, though, that cause you a little more concern. The other two readings are more in line with hellfire and brimstone. Think about what Joshua said at the end. It's very near the end of that book. Joshua calls all the leaders, all the tribal heads, everybody together to present themselves before God. And Joshua says, look, you have a choice that you need to make today. Our ancestors back in Egypt, they worshiped the Egyptian gods. And now that we have come into the promised land and displaced the Amorites, many of you are tempted to serve and to worship the Amorite gods. But then Joshua says, as for me and my family, we will have none of that. We're going to serve the one true God, our Lord in heaven. So Joshua tells them, now's the time. You need to make up your minds. And they say, well, far be it from us. We're going to follow the same God. And then Joshua comes back and says, oh, no, you don't. Our God is a jealous God. Our God is a vindictive God. He will harm you. He won't do you good. He will not forgive your sins unless you choose right now to follow God. And so all of the assembled people say, no, we got it. We're with you. We're going to follow. And so like any good Methodist, Joshua starts writing it up, putting it on paper, giving them the statutes that they will need. Very near the end of that book. Hellfire and brimstone stuff. And then look at the parable from the Gospel of Matthew. You know the story. The foolish bridesmaids there with their lamps, but they don't have any extra oil. The wise ones say, you can't have any of ours. You need to go to the merchant right now in the middle of the night. So they trundle off, and by the time they get back with their newly filled lamps, they go to the door of the wedding banquet and they knock on the door, and the Lord inside says, nope, I don't know you. Once again, inklings of the end of time when perhaps Jesus won't know us. This is truly the stuff of hellfire and brimstone. But as I said earlier, it's not exactly the theology of the United Methodist Church. So let's take a look at that. We as United Methodists do believe that there will in fact be a day of reckoning. We will be called to answer for all the decisions that we have made in this life. We'll be called to answer for the way we treated other people. We'll be called to task for who we worshiped and how we served the Lord. But when you look at hellfire and brimstone, something that's a key element is the idea of fear. You need to choose right here and right now. You need to choose Satan, which is the easy path, or you need to choose Jesus Christ. It's either or, black and white, and you need to make that choice right now. You can be a born-again Christian, or you can be one of Satan's devils and burn in the pits of hell fire. And along with that idea of fear, because it truly is a theology of fear, is in every sermon there is always a sense of immediacy. You don't have to consider this. You need to decide right now. Before you go home, you need to come up to the altar and decide right now. Will it be Jesus or Satan? It seems awful black and white. Now, I want you to think about that. That theology of fear and immediacy. In your experience in your life, when you've been forced to make a decision in a hurried way, or when you felt afraid to make a decision, but you've been forced to make that decision, how did it work out for you? If you think about psychology, they always tell us that people make much better decisions when they have positive reinforcement than when they are approached with fear and negativity. The positive always wins out on the negative. But this means for you that you need to consider, who is the God you serve? Who is the God that you worship? And what you need to do is spend some time and prayer and consideration on those questions. When we go to our theology, we recognize several things.
One, the time is now. We need to have enough oil in our lamps to be ready for whatever happens. We don't know the time or the hour that Jesus will come again. But rather than being so concerned about getting to the banquet hall, getting into it, being so concerned about eternal life and the thereafter, we need to think about the time that we have on this earth in the darkness with our lamps. Jesus tells us to keep those lamps lit. We have been given the light of the good news of Jesus Christ, the true light of the world, Jesus Himself. And we need to consider that this is an important time just as well. Yes, there will come a day of reckoning, but we have right now this given moment in which to live, in which to illumine the darkness with the light of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that hellfire and brimstone is wrong. I just wonder about the motivation. And I wonder about a decision made in the heat of the moment versus one made over a time of consideration and thoughtful prayer. God made each of us in God's image. God loves you unconditionally. Through God's grace, we have been given faith in Jesus Christ and the real opportunity to transform our very lives. We are to follow Jesus and to live lives in the model of Christ. Because life with Jesus is beautiful and wonderful and challenging and meaningful. Keep awake. Amen.